Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director at the Environmental Protection Information Center, or EPIC. And I'm joined, as always, by my friends, colleagues, co-hosts, Scott Greeson of Friends of the Eel River. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Tom.
And Larry Glass, Executive Director of the North Coast Environmental Center and President of...
ACE, Alternatives for our Forest Environment.
There we go, based out of Trinity County. And we're joined by Tom Stokely. Tom is the Salmon Water Policy Advocate at Save California Salmon, a nonprofit organization that is working to restore flows and salmon runs here in the North State. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you very much, Tom. Nice to be with you.
So we're going to talk a lot about the Trinity River today, which is very useful because when this airs, I will hopefully be on the Trinity River enjoying a day on the river. It's that time of the year. So I have an interest in having flows in the Trinity River sufficient to support myself. You know, I guess I care about salmon too. So let's get into the state of the Trinity River. So the Trinity River is massively impacted by man-made water infrastructure. And there is something coming up, the Sites Reservoir Project. And I would hope that you could walk us through what's going on with the Sites Project and how it relates back to the Trinity.
Sure. The Trinity River is part of the federal Central Valley Project. It's a trans-basin diversion of water from the Trinity River, the largest tributary of the Klamath, over to the Sacramento River. If you ever drive on Highway 299 and you see Whiskey Town, that's basically the Trinity River. So there are a number of threats to the Trinity River. While there is a record of decision from the year 2000 by former Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt that does provide increased flows for the river, there's really no protection to keep the cold water in the reservoir. And of course, salmon and steelhead and prey and other species like cold water. So if the cold water runs out in Trinity Reservoir, we're going to see a repeat of what happened in the lower Klamath River in the year 2002. And in fact, we saw this in 1977 when they ran out of water and lots of fish died.
2002, just to focus on that a little bit more, that's when we had a massive salmon die-off in the Klamath River. It was a generationally important event.
Roughly 70,000 adult salmon died. And you know, that's a lot more obvious than when all the young salmon die, which is happening every year. But
yeah, it was a pretty traumatic event. And unfortunately, I expect that we will see it again unless there's some major changes in the health of both the Trinity and the Klamath. So Sites Reservoir is a proposed offstream reservoir in the western Sacramento Valley near the town of Maxwell. At this point, it's proposed to be about a 1.5 million acre foot reservoir. Just as an example, Shasta Lake's about 4.5 million acre feet. Trinity's about 2.5 million acre feet. So we're looking at a pretty substantial reservoir. The idea behind the project is to divert so-called excess flows from the Sacramento River. The concern is that the Trinity River is diverted to the Sacramento River upstream of where they will take water in for sites. And I might add that this project is being partly funded by your tax dollars through Proposition 1, a water bond from several years ago that had about $2.7 billion in it for new storage, with the idea that the public would actually buy benefits from new storage projects for the environment. Because in the world of water, at least theoretically, the beneficiary is supposed to pay. So if somebody builds a new dam, they get the water from it. If the state of California or the federal government builds a new dam, theoretically, they should get the water from it. So the state, through the California Water Commission, has dedicated about $817 million to the Sites Reservoir Project for so-called environmental or public benefits. That would be water for the endangered Delta smelt and also water for wildlife refuges in the Sacramento Valley. Now, that sounds good, but in fact, when the Sites people proposed this project originally, they said there would be salmon benefits, but the California Department of Fish and Wildlife said, no, this project will not have salmon benefits. This project will actually very likely damage salmon in the Sacramento River, and therefore we don't support giving money to the project. So their draft environmental impact statement and report came out in, I believe, around 2017, and comments were due at that time. I was doing other things, so I kind of missed the boat on it. But last year, I hired a hydrologist named Greg Kamen with Kamen Hydrology to look at the environmental document to see if there were impacts to the Trinity River. With my 37 years working on the Trinity River, because it's plumbed to the Central Valley Project, it's basically plumbed to the rest of the state of California. So any water projects in the state that would increase demand for diversions could impact the Trinity River and very likely does. So we had him look at the operations modeling in these environmental documents. They do theoretical modeling of how it will be operated, and they look at the impacts on different resources. And in this case, they said there would be no impacts to the Trinity River. And in fact, the site's people actually more or less swore on a Bible in front of the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors in 2017 that this would not harm the Trinity River. But in fact, Greg Kamen found that there were very significant negative impacts to the Trinity River. If you imagine, just in a larger sense, you have Trinity and Shasta reservoirs at the northern part of the state, and then Sites Reservoir is a little further south. And so any new reservoir that goes in downstream from the Trinity water entering the Sacramento River has the potential to increase demand on the Trinity and, in a sense, move that storage from Trinity Reservoir to Sites Reservoir. And again, if Trinity Reservoir gets too low, warm water comes out of the dam and it can harm fish. And so what we found is that indeed the project would impact fish and it would create some warm water temperatures for fish. So
we have these environmental documents done. I think a lot of folks who are listening are probably pretty familiar with the way a project gets developed, right? Which is you first propose something, then you do some environmental work, and then eventually you have the project approved and completed. Where are we in this process? So we have environmental documents done. Is it still too late to put a spike in this, to kill this project?
No. As a matter of fact, they came out with a draft EIS EIR a couple years ago. And a number of organizations, some of them including yours, Larry, SAFE, and NEC, I believe, signed a letter saying that the environmental document was inadequate and needed to be redone and recirculated. They did not respond to our request. However, they've ultimately decided to downsize the project to make a smaller project, a less costly project, and that will require a recirculated draft EIS EIR that will be coming out for public comment about a year from now. So we get another shot at the Sites Reservoir project a year from now. They also have a water right application that'll be available for protest at the end of 2021. So this project is far from assured. They have a lot of hurdles to jump over.
Tom, a couple of questions. You noted that in theory, the beneficiaries of water projects are supposed to pay for them. But this almost never happens in California. The federal government and the state government end up picking up the cost of things that farmers then pay a little bit of. But who is supposed to be paying the cost of the site's reservoir? Who's supposed to be getting the water? And then, you know, it looks like the site's boosters are still claiming salmon benefits. Is there any basis to this?
Well, there might be benefits to salmon. We'll have to see what happens with their new environmental document. I can tell you that the original project, and according to the project proponents who we talked to on Friday, they plan on diverting water from the Sacramento River and taking more water out than the California Department of Fish and Wildlife is recommending. There's something called a minimum bypass flow. CDFW wants about 13,000 cubic feet per second downstream at Wilkins Slough. And these folks are looking at more like 7,000 or 8,000. So unless they can solve the problem of taking the Sacramento River too low and harming fish in that way, I don't see how they can have salmon benefits. And then, of course, if they also impact operations and temperatures on the Trinity River, that also could have a negative impact on salmon. So it's not so clear cut that this will have multiple benefits. It may have some benefits and it may also have some very negative impacts, particularly on salmon.
Who's going to benefit from the water supply?
Well, at this point, the Sites Project Authority Board is made up of water districts in the Sacramento Valley. Some of them have expressed interest in purchasing that water, but it's really quite expensive water, $600 to $700 per acre foot, which is about 326,000 gallons of water. We think that probably Southern California cities will be the ones who would be able to afford it.
So, Tom, what's this hearing coming up with California Water Commission on Wednesday, July 15th? Apparently, they're having some public testimony about the SITES project and projects like that. You familiar with the hearing?
Yeah, so by the time you hear this, the California Water Commission will have made a decision whether or not to give a time extension to meet certain requirements of Proposition 1. These projects have to have a feasibility study, an environmental document, and they have to have a vast majority of the project participants lined up with cash ready to go. And I believe that SITES and other projects are asking for a time extension because otherwise they will be unable to use the money from the state.
Tom, one of the concerns I've seen about the SITES reservoir that I haven't seen addressed in any of the environmental documents is the levels of toxic metals in the source waters and the potential for that to accumulate in the reservoir itself. It's an issue that some, you know, knowledgeable folks have commented on, but it doesn't seem like the project proponents have even addressed these issues.
Yes, that's correct. That was one of the 38 issues we brought up in our coalition letter from March of 2019. There are mine tailings there from cinnabar, and there's a very high likelihood that mercury will be methylized within the reservoir, possibly other heavy metals as well that could contaminate the water. To the best of my knowledge, they have not addressed this issue at all. I don't know whether the downsized reservoir would not inundate those areas or not, but that was brought up by a gentleman named Jerry Bowles, who used to be a fairly high-ranking person with the California Department of Water Resources in Red Bluff, so he's familiar with the area. Yeah.
The issue concerns me a lot because I've seen exactly this problem in the Lake Pillsbury Reservoir on the Upper Eel. We have bass taken from that reservoir that have levels of mercury in their flesh that is clearly toxic and the highest that was recorded in statewide sampling, and it's from exactly those kind of sources. It can be a real problem.
Yes, and actually the same problem exists for the Shasta Dam enlargement as well. It would also inundate contaminated mine tailings.
So, Tom, I think our Humboldt County Board of Supervisors has been helpful and has worked to protect the Klamath River and worked to get out the Klamath River dams. They've supported dam removal. How have local governments been on Trinity water issues, and what can we do to push them to take a more aggressive role to protect our North Coast water from being exported to the Central Valley and places down south?
Well, certainly when it comes to SITES Reservoir, you can encourage your board next year to submit comments on the draft EIS EIR. Specifically, in December of this last year, the board took a very strong stance on SITES Reservoir. They had previously supported it conditionally that it would not harm the Trinity River. When we discovered there was harm, they wrote back to the SITES Project Authority with some very specific language that they wanted in the water rights that would protect the Trinity River, as well as Humboldt County's interests, such as their 50,000 acre foot water contract. So we'll see whether the SITES Project Authority responds favorably. So far, they have not. And so I would guess that the Humboldt Board will need to take a hard line when the draft AS comes out next year, possibly even enough to protest the water right application. So that's one way that the board can get involved. In general, it's difficult for local governments to get involved in these issues unless you have a staff person who's really knowledgeable and has developed their own funding source. I was that person for Trinity County. I retired about 11 and a half years ago, and since then, they have not had a staff person to deal with these issues. Although I will add that the Trinity Board of Supervisors joined in a lawsuit with Joaquin County against approval of the Westlands Water District permanent water contract. The Trinity River was to provide Westlands with water. Westlands has a contract for about 1.2 million acre feet of water, which is over twice what LA uses in a year. And the current administration in Washington is basically signing permanent water contracts with Westlands and other CBP contractors without benefit of environmental review, without benefit of Endangered Species Act consultations, really without the benefit of anything. And we're talking about locking up millions of acre feet of water, including water from the Trinity River, in perpetuity. These people will be able to sell the water to cities at profit. They'll no longer be subject to acreage limitation. And it's basically a massive giveaway of public water to more or less private interests.
Tom, what is David Bernhardt's role?
David Bernhardt is the Interior Secretary. He was formerly a lobbyist and an attorney for the Westlands Water District. So essentially what we have is the Westlands Water District running the Interior Department. And it's pretty scary stuff. And every day we hear more and more stories about what a poor job they're doing protecting the public trust and the tribal trust resources of not only the Trinity River, but all over the West.
Do y'all remember when our Interior Secretary used to just be a CEO of REI? Wasn't that, those are good times, weren't they? We're talking with Tom Stokely of Save California Salmon about efforts to take water from the Trinity River and divert it to places south. So, Tom, this is one large water infrastructure project. It is one among many, and I know that you are working on many. So if we could, I'd love to turn to the Shasta Dam raise and again make that connection to the Trinity River. So what's going on with this Shasta Dam raise, and what are the costs, or ecological and other?
Well, the Bureau of Reclamation did an environmental document on enlarging Shasta Dam several years ago. They said it was going to be about $1.3 billion. I'm sure the cost will go up. The concept is that during very wet years, there's extra water available theoretically to capture in there and store. But the reality is that water during those wetter years does have ecological functions downstream in the Delta, in the Sacramento River. And it would not benefit salmon. But the really tragic thing about the Shasta Dam enlargement, in addition to inundating some of the last ancestral lands of the Winnemem Wintu tribe, is that they're doing it in the name of salmon restoration. This is really the ultimate in doublespeak. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did a couple of reports on the project, and they basically said it would have no benefits to salmon. It would probably even damage the salmon. And if the Bureau of Reclamation was going to spend $600 or $700 million on salmon activities, they wouldn't spend it on this project. But this is the way that the water users, such as Westlands, get around the requirement that the beneficiary pay for new storage projects. In this case, they came up with a phony reason that they were going to come up with a larger cold water pool for salmon, and therefore it would save fish, and therefore the public could pay for about 50% of the cost. It's absolutely a complete lie. And I might add that it actually started under the Obama administration. So this is not just something that came up under the Trump administration. Quite frankly, I've seen a lot of the staff at the Bureau of Reclamation and Fish and Wildlife Service, and we get the same bad actors, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. But it is, of course, much worse now with Bernhard in charge.
We have to thank Senator Dianne Feinstein for part of this.
Oh, yes. Well, she definitely supported a bill called the Water Infrastructure Improvement Act a few years ago as Barbara Boxer was leaving. And that act further added to the subsidies because it basically created a slush fund so that the Central Valley Project contractors, such as Westlands, could pay off their debt that they owed to repay the Central Valley Project. And instead of repaying the Treasury, which loaned them that money at no interest 60 years ago, that money goes into a slush fund that Senator Feinstein created that now will help pay for enlarging Shasta Dam. It will pay for building sites reservoir and any number of projects. So once again, the taxpayers are really taking it in the shorts, as is the environment. And what this is really all about is getting cheap water to very wealthy farmers such as Westlands Water District. One former attorney from Weaverville named Al Wilkins, he's now gone, but he went to a hearing about 30 years ago, and he said about Westlands, never have so many done so much for so few who deserve so little.
That's a good one. So one other thing I wanted to flag with the rising waters would be the inundation of some of the only known populations of Shasta salamanders, which we now believe are three distinct subspecies or even species. So when we increase the level of the lake, we're going to cover these salamanders with water in some of the only locations that we know them to exist. So EPIC, together with the Center for Biological Diversity, have attempted to both list these salamanders under the Federal Endangered Species Act to give them a little bit more protection against stuff like this, and have sued to hurry that up because of the imminent threat of a Shasta Dam raise.
Good for you.
All right. So lastly, let's talk about the one tunnel. So for a long time, it was two tunnels. Then we get Newsom and, you know, bold new governor, new plan, one tunnel. What is this mono tunnel, this single tunnel that Newsom is trying to push forward? And again, how is it related to our water here on the North Coast?
Well, the Trinity River, again, it's diverted to the Sacramento River, and it actually goes down to the Delta. And by the Bureau of Reclamation damming the Trinity River, they actually allowed greater exports of water out of the Delta. So the Trinity River caused multiple environmental damage. It damaged the Trinity and the Klamath. It damaged the Delta by allowing increased pumping. And it also damaged the ecosystem of the San Joaquin River because it mobilized selenium that's naturally occurring in the soils of Westlands. So the Delta Tunnel essentially is an effort to try to find a way around pumping water through the deltas. Currently, the water goes down the Sacramento River, and then instead of flowing out to the ocean, it takes a left turn and actually flows upstream on the San Joaquin River. And the state and the federal government have such powerful pumps that they make the lower San Joaquin River flow backwards. But the problem is it picks up salt. It's also subject to sea level rise, which ultimately will inundate the current pumps with salt water. So the idea is to put in a tunnel further upstream on the Sacramento River to get that clean Sacramento River water and send it down to the pumps and the aqueduct south. So because of the Endangered Species Act, things such as Delta smelt, winter run salmon, that has resulted in pumping restrictions in the Delta that have benefited the Trinity River for many, many years. In some years, there's a lot of water, but they can't move it through the Delta. So the pumps are a way essentially to get around pumping restrictions in the Delta and also to get water without salt. So they can use Trinity River water. And like I said previously, any project that could increase the conveyance of Trinity water or the demand for Trinity water will impact storage and cold water for fish in the Trinity River. So basically, that's the concern with the Delta Tunnel. I will say that this project goes back to Jerry Brown and his first administration in the 80s. It was beat by an initiative of the people. And then we beat the last version of it, which was the Twin Tunnels. And a number of us spent many years in water right hearings. And finally, they withdrew that project. Now it's down to one tunnel. And I feel pretty sure that this project is not going to make it to the bulldozer. This project is in a lot of trouble. The reality is that the sea level is rising much faster. One of the main proponents of the project in the past was a guy named Jerry Merrill, who was the Deputy Resources Secretary. He most recently said that they should probably move the intake up to the mouth of the Feather River, which is many miles upstream on the Sacramento River, because sea level rise is going to be so great that the salt will be intruding way, way upstream. So they've already planned this thing to be obsolete with sea level rise. In addition to that, not all of the state water project contractors want to pay for it. The Central Valley project contractors, such as Westlands, won't pay for it. A number of state contractors aren't paying for it. And as a result, the state is loaning money to the project to do their engineering and design, but the contractors are not coughing up. And so pretty soon the state's probably going to have to cut off the money supply. And I think the project will be dead. And if it doesn't die there, we'll kill it in the water right hearing and we'll kill it in court, and it's not going to happen. So that's at least, I think, some good news. I could be wrong, but I think we've beaten that zombie into the ground, and hopefully we will ultimately drive the silver stake into its heart. It's a bad project, and it's a bad project for Southern California because it's going to cost a lot of money and it's going to impact low-income communities down there, and they're not going to get any more water as a result of it. So that's some good news.
That is good news. Throughout all of this, I think one of the recurring themes of today's show is that conservatives should be pissed off about all of this stuff too, right? So, you know, they always charge that the government is looking out for friends in the government, and that we are wasteful and that we do stupid things, and that when you concentrate power, people make bad decisions with that power. I mean, California's water policy is exactly that. So let's close with the Trump administration and their new water plans for the Central Valley Project. So what's going on with the Trump administration and David Bernhardt and those cast of cartoon villains?
Well, actually, what we've got is a major fight between the state of California and the federal government over water. Normally, the state and the federal water projects run by California Department of Water Resources and Federal Bureau of Reclamation, they work hand in hand. And they have the same Endangered Species Act biological opinions, but they parted their ways last year. And the feds came out with a new biological opinion that clearly will pretty much extinct salmon in not only the Sacramento River, but undoubtedly, in my mind, the Trinity River and probably the Klamath as well because of problems with the Trinity. The state, while they come up with their own plan that still isn't that good, it's been referred to as the Trump Light Plan, but they are different enough that the state has decided to sue the federal government over their water plan, and we're not sure how it's going to come out. There are a lot of issues between the state and the federal government. The federal government claims that it's exempt from state laws, whereas a number of us are aware of many laws that make the Bureau of Reclamation very clearly subject to orders of the State Water Board. So it's a bad plan. It's being litigated not only by the state, but also by a number of environmental groups. As far as the Trinity River goes, because we have the record of decision from 2000 that Bruce Babbitt made, and a couple of biological opinions, which are Endangered Species Act consultations for the Trinity River project, they did not amend the biological opinion for the Trinity because it's 20 years old. But basically what the Bureau of Reclamation did in this new water plan is they decided to use Trinity water to send more Trinity water south, but they phonied up a bunch of numbers in their water operations modeling to show that the Trinity River would actually be better off. But in fact, it was a lie. It was some of the most blatant misrepresentation of facts that I've ever seen in an environmental document. What they did is they model things like how much water will be in the reservoir during certain years, and they use bogus numbers. And basically, according to our hydrologist, in some drought years, Trinity Lake will have much less water in it than what they say it will. And again, that will result in fish dying on the Trinity and the Lower Klamath. So it's being fought in court, and we'll hope for the best with the attorneys.
All right, Tom, I want to make sure to give you some time to give a plug to Save California Salmon and to let people know how they can get involved and where they should go for more information.
Sure. Save California Salmon is a nonprofit group. It's actually sponsored by the Trees Foundation in Garberville, California. And Regina Chichizola does most of the work. I just do a few things on the Trinity River. And one of the things that Regina did recently was put together a series of Zoom meetings with people who are experts on a variety of issues to do with rivers in California. I think, Scott, you might have been on there. And anyway, there's a lot of information on the website. There's also a Facebook page, so it's called Save California Salmon. And the website is californiasalmon.org. And basically, we're committed to restoring and protecting clean water and fisheries. And there's also a really big emphasis on environmental justice. Regina works with the Water Protectors Club at Hoopa High School and other high schools. And these kids have just really done a great job going and speaking at public hearings. And basically, Regina's training up the next generation of activists. So it's a really good thing.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Tom, for joining us for this episode of the Eco News Report. And be sure to check out Save California Salmon and their good work to protect our water and our salmon here on the North Coast. So thank you again, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. That's great.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. And you can catch the Eco News Report again next week at this same time and channel. If you have any issues you'd like us to talk about on a future Eco News Report, email me at tom@wildcalifornia.org.